Shabbat Shalom, Chaveri.
Shabbat Shalom.
Your response then is Shabbat Shalom, Chaver.
Shabbat Shalom.
What I said to you was Shabbat Shalom, friends.
And
your response is Shabbat Shalom, friend.
That's right.
That's if I am your friend. For many years now, I have been fascinated with the craft and art of pottery. When I was younger, with greater strength and greater stamina, I tried my hand at crafting a clay pot for my mother as part of our art program at school. What a disaster. I couldn't keep the clay properly centered on the wheel, and as the wheel turned, the clay mass flew apart and splattered everyone around me. I quickly learned how important it is to keep the clay centered. This for me is a metaphor of our lives as believers. We need to keep our hearts, souls, and minds centered on Adonai Yeshua at all times, to avoid spinning out of control and falling and flying apart, lost in the world of flesh. How important this is for believers, especially since our lives, physical and spiritual, exist in the juncture of being in and of the world. Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, Lord God Almighty, I pray this morning for clarity for all of us as we hear your message. I pray that you help us to learn and to know our position within the world as believers and not of the world with those who are sinners. Abba Father, give us strength, give us courage, and give us boldness. Baruch Hashem Yeshua Moshiach. Amen. Well, this is not an astonishing fact for you, but each of us was born in and of the world. That condition was created for us through the fall. When Adam was seduced by Satan and Chava, he relinquished his role as the guardian of Adonai's dominion. As a result, Satan took over his role until the sacrifice and resurrection of our beloved Adonai Yeshua. Now, Satan is, while still the de facto ruler of the physical world, he has no real power. That was removed from him by Adonai Yeshua's sacrifice. As for us human beings, we were born with a human nature, and for the number of years until we became born again believers, our human nature ruled our lives. However, once we became born again, there was an expectation we would slowly but surely make the separation from being of the world. I'm sure I don't need to tell you how important it is for us to understand we believers in Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, Lord God Almighty, are to be in the world, but not of the world. Often we find ourselves on a thin tightrope between these relationships, sometimes vacillating between the two, like a yo-yo. In order to help us clearly understand what it means to be of the world, I have accessed the comments of Chuck Swindoll, pastor and founder of the internationally acclaimed radio broadcast, Insight for Living. He has identified four major objectives that direct most of those who are of the world: money, recognition, power, and pleasure. It would benefit us to examine each of these objectives to be absolutely clear how they have been co-opted by the adversary to keep those of the world chained to sin and therefore removed from God's presence and his grace. Money in and of itself is not evil. It is a commodity like any other commodity in our society. It is one of the two ways we may obtain goods and services we need to live within the world. And since our culture is not set up for the barter system, almost all of us need money. The problem arises when our desire for money outstrips our need and it becomes an addiction based on greed. Scripture has a good deal of guidance for us with regard to money and wealth. For example, Proverbs 13 shares with us, "Wealth gotten by worthless means dwindles away, but he who amasses it by hard work will increase it." There is an understanding within this wisdom of Adonai's honoring those who work hard for the wealth they accumulate, as opposed to those who gather their fortune through acts of greed. In Ecclesiastes 5, we read, "The lover of money never has enough money." In a poll of those who give and receive inheritances, the investment company Neuberger & Bergman discovered more than half of the respondents who currently held assets of $1 to $5 million did not consider themselves wealthy. Did you hear that correctly? The greedy will never have enough. Rav Shaul spoke of this when advising his protege Timothy. He wrote in 1 Timothy 6, "For the love of money is a root of all evils. Because of this craving, some people have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves to the heart with many pains." The second obstacle to our separating ourselves from the world of flesh is the need for recognition. Often the need for attention and adulation of others comes from our experiences as children, when we didn't receive sufficient recognition, attention, or love from our parents. As we grew and entered that period of life when peers had greater importance to us than did our parents, we projected those needs upon our peers. However, as any adult attention seeker will tell you, if they have the courage, at this stage in life, there is never enough attention. When we were born again and eagerly sought the recognition of Adonai Yeshua, we received more than we requested. Hear his promise to us as recorded in John 14. "What I am leaving with you is shalom. I am giving you my shalom. I don't give the way the world gives. Don't let yourselves be upset or frightened." This, beloved, is all the recognition we need. His promise of perfect peace, his completeness, his grace. When he fills our hearts, we need no other recognition or attention. The desire for power is one of the most seductive and alluring calls from Satan. Remember how the enemy used the allure of power to seduce Adonai Yeshua to worship him. However, power also exists in the righteous world of Adonai Elohim. Let's separate the power which is of the enemy and that power which is of Jehovah. Within the righteous world, there exist four categories of power: knowledge, expertise, the power of authority, and relational power. Each one of these, when used to further his kingdom on earth, is respected and valued by Adonai Yeshua. In Matthew 13, Adonai Yeshua shared the following with his Talmudim. It has been given to you to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but it has not been given to them. For anyone who has something will be given more, so that he will have plenty. But from anyone who has nothing, even what he does have will be taken away. Here we see our Lord and Savior sharing with us the understanding his disciples, you and I, believers all, would receive the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven. In many cultist religions, some of which call themselves Christian, there is an understanding of secret knowledge which only comes within those within the cult may share, for only they have the understanding given by God. However, this is not the meaning of the passage. Here, Adonai Yeshua is telling us he has given his followers the truth of Torah, which was hidden from those who could not or who would not understand by virtue of their unbelief and rejection of Adonai Elohim. Many claim the extra canonical books found in the Apocrypha and what is known as the Gnostic Gospels are of equal value to the Tanakh and the Apostolic Scriptures. However, these non-canonical sources have proven to be morally and spiritually inferior to what we now know as God's Word. Those who follow these false or inadequate gospels place themselves in trouble by being easily misled by the adversary. Having the knowledge of God's Word and using it well are two different things. We all have access to the Word and are privileged and honored to increase our understanding through study and through direct revelation, which emanates from his Word. However, there is a caution here. We are required to use this knowledge and understanding wisely, with humility and discernment. To do otherwise is to step over the line and join those of the world who use their knowledge for personal financial gain, prestige, and status. The same may be said about expertise power. Adonai Elohim has given each of us gifts. These are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 as healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning among spirits, speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. And in verse 28, we find those who have the gifts of being apostles, prophets, teachers, helpers, and administrators. Ephesians 4 adds to this list the gifts of evangelism and pastoring, while 1 Peter 4 adds speaking and serving. Not everyone will have the same set of skills or gifts used to further the building of his kingdom. But as Rav Shaul advises us in 1 Corinthians 3, each will be rewarded according to his work. For we are God's co-workers. You are God's field, God's building. When we claim to have expertise and use that expertise to exalt ourselves and thereby putting others down, we have placed ourselves into being of the world, since this is an act of sin and greed. Authority is a power given to us by those in higher places. In God's kingdom here on earth, this authority comes from the ruler of the universe and the lover of our souls. Are you not sure what authority he has given us? Let's look to Scripture for an answer. To some of us, Adonai Elohim, through his Holy Spirit, has given the role of leaders. With this role comes his authority. In Hebrews 13, Rav Shaul exhorts us to obey our leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your lives as people who will have to render an account. Oh, did I forget to share with you, authority comes with accountability. In this verse, we are told clearly those who lead us are accountable for their leadership action. One cannot have authoritative power without accountability. The two go hand in hand. In Luke 10, Adonai Yeshua was very direct when he shared with us his gift of authority over the adversary. Listen to his words. I have given you authority so that you can trample down snakes and scorpions, indeed all the enemy's forces, and you will remain completely unharmed. Amen. I urge all of us to pay special attention to Adonai Yeshua's words in Luke 10. Many believers truly accept the lie which tells us Satan is powerful and can control our thinking whenever he desires. Let me emphasize, this is his greatest lie. Satan has no power unless we give it to him. Otherwise, he is powerless. All power was stripped away from him when Adonai Yeshua allowed himself to be sacrificed for us. The only thing Satan is capable of doing now is to feed us lies, which, if we believe them, gives the evil one all the power he needs to enter our minds. All people, both believers and non-believers alike, have relational power. This may be defined as that power which comes through our relationships with others. This type of power is given to us by others and is not a power we have within us. For example, if you have a loving relationship with members of your family, their power is shared with you. Teachers who are loved by their students receive power from them. Without this power, teachers have a great deal of difficulty teaching and are often judged as being incompetent or ineffectual. Parents whose children love them openly do not need to use coercive power, that is, threats of punishment or abuse, when asking their children to obey. Only when parents are disrespected by their children is the children's power withheld and parents are forced to use threats to achieve obedience. Our relationship with Jehovah comes with the transfer of power from him to us. We read, for example, in Isaiah 40, he invigorates the exhausted. He gives strength to the powerless. From the apostolic scriptures, we find references to this transfer of power from Adonai Elohim to believers more frequently. In 2 Timothy 1, Rav Shaul shares with us, God gave us a spirit who produces not timidity, but power, love, and self-discipline. This power allows us to fight against fear and apathy, weapons of the adversary used to draw us away from belief in the living God. The Apostle Kepha announces clearly in 2 Peter 1, God's power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowing the one who called us to his own glory and goodness. Kepha teaches us all we need to be righteous and holy, set apart for him. Our righteousness comes from Adonai's power, given to his children freely and within love. This is the greatest power we could ever have, and it is ours if we only confess our love for Adonai Elohim Tzevaot and willingly follow his life instructions, the Torah of Adonai Yeshua. The world of sin and flesh, that which is ruled by Satan, uses power corruptly and for personal gain at the expense of others. Coercive power is most often used by those who are addicted to power and have the very human need to be in control of others' behaviors and even in control of their thinking. Cult leaders are not able to function effectively without coercive power, often masked as referential power. However, in the world of sin, power is often exercised in ways we may not recognize. For example, many people who perceive they are powerless often act in ways that are immensely powerful. Those who feed upon others' emotions through playing the role of victim are exercising a good deal of power. This is a form of coercive power. If others do not accede to the victim's demands, they are perceived as heartless and cruel, thus laying guilt upon them. Others use withdrawal as a powerful means of getting their way. This is often a strategy used in dysfunctional families. Rather than openly discussing their needs, spouses who feel themselves powerless may withdraw their services from the family and from their spouses if they feel their needs are not being met. Although this is often an effective strategy as it plays into the specter of abusive behavior and guilt, it is sinful since it acts against Adonai Elohim's desire for open dialogue. In dysfunctional families or relationships where one party is acting in an abusive manner, the other party's response might be withdrawal to the point of leaving the relationship rather than attempting to work it out. And what of the allure of pleasure? Adonai Yeshua clearly warned us of the consequences of engaging in the pleasures of sinful behavior, as we read in Revelation 21. As for the cowardly, the untrustworthy, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those involved with the occult and with drugs, idol worshippers, and all liars, their destiny is the lake burning with fire and sulfur, the second death. Is it sinful for believers to lead lives which include pleasure? Absolutely not. For godly pleasures are there for us to enjoy and feel satisfied with our lives. Right from the beginning, Adonai declared his creation of the world was good, as we read in Genesis 1:31. Human need for love, affiliation with the like-minded, intimate relations with our spouses, sustenance and security are all pleasures Jehovah has declared good. The problem arises when human beings turn the desire for pleasure into idolatry. These desires turn our desire away from God and on to the pleasure. Once we do this, the enemy is able to grasp us in his claws and continue the turning away from Jehovah freely and without impediment. In Psalm 37, King David advises us, "Trust in Adonai and do good. Settle in the land and feed on faithfulness. Then you will delight yourself in Adonai, and he will give you your heart's desire." Desiring pleasurable lives in and of itself is not evil. The sin comes when we begin to obsess over pleasure. Adonai Yeshua's advice to us is quite cogent. Listen as he shares this advice found in Matthew 6. "Don't be anxious, saying, What will we eat? What will we drink? Or how will we be clothed? For it is the pagans who set their hearts on all these things. Your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough tsuris. Beloved, Adonai Elohim knows and understands how at times we are lured into the ways of the world of sin through frustration and perceived needs not being met when we want them to be met. This is why he has given us his word to encourage us to go to his instructions and guidance when we most need it. His word teaches us how to pray for that which we need or think we need. And it teaches us humility and thanksgiving for everything he does give us, even when we do not understand. I urge you to exercise all your gifts, given to you freely and in love by our loving Abba, in ways that will edify the body of Messiah and which will help to expand his kingdom here on earth. In this way, we all will be honoring our relationship with our first love through our relationship with the world.